We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. 2017 marks the centennial of Wisconsin's state capitol. But rather than focusing on the building itself, Madison artists Brenda Baker and Bird Ross chose instead to focus on a statue that's been greeting and encouraging the women of Madison since late 1895. Funded by women across the state, the statue, called Forward, was sculpted by Jean Pond Minor and holds court at the Capitol's east entrance.
For Ross and Baker, Forward is the inspiration for Being Forward, a photographic installation at the Playhouse Gallery in Madison's Overture Center. The work features over 100 photographs of Wisconsin women artists and supporters, and it includes Radio Chipstone contributor Jennifer Fields. The goal of the exhibition is to recognize the contributions of women to the arts and to create the Women Artists Forward Fund to support the work of female artists here in the state.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Jennifer Fields chats with Brenda Baker and Bird Ross about the project. According to Ross, the inspiration behind the work is multifaceted.
Certainly it comes from more places than I could really articulate at this moment. I mean, she's really been a real symbol, I think, especially if you think back to January of 2017 during the women's movement. There she was on the Capitol along with everyone else. And so it was obvious to us at that point that she really did carry a lot of energy and a lot of power and a lot of truth for a lot of women. So that was part of it. But also, she was made by a young 28-year-old woman in 1893. And this woman was one of two women chosen to be an artist-in-resident at the World's Fair and to be in the Wisconsin Pavilion and to do her work there. And so, she really garnered herself a very prominent position in world history by being able to be a woman artist, Jean Pond Minor, at this fair in 1893.
And I think that one of the things that happens, Brenda, when we have public sculptures, when we live amongst these things, we forget who they are and we forget their power.
Right.
Am I reaching when I say that that's kind of the condition of the woman artist?
I definitely think there's an invisibility. I mean, if you look at the statistics, many of them that we've gathered from the National Museum for Women's Art in Washington, D.C., there's a lot of statistics that support that. I think 65% of the MFA graduates right now from the universities are women. We know that 3 to 5% of the collections in major galleries around the world are only 3 to 5% are artworks made by women. We know that in terms of positions, jobs in the arts, women make less than men. You know, there are lots and lots of statistics like this that sort of support the fact that women are less seen and less visible.
Bird, when you think about this and when you look at this project, one of the things that strikes me is that, to be honest with you, there are women up there who are my friends that I know are artists, but I don't think about them being artists until I'm at one of their shows. For me, in my head, it's not part of their identity, and I'm wondering if that's part of the problem.
I think sometimes people are, maybe, I can't speak for all women, but it's tricky to identify yourself as an artist and as a female because of the fact that maybe you're not necessarily taken seriously, or they want to know more about what sort of integrity do you have in your artwork. What is it about you being an artist that makes you someone that I should pay attention to? I mean, I feel like I'm sort of constantly grappling with the way that I should describe myself in a way that people get it, that it makes them curious, and it makes them realize that it's, even though I have a good time doing it, it's a serious business for me.
When I look at this wall and I see these women and I see us all in this pose and you see the objects that they're holding, when you see their tools, there's a woman holding a film camera, there's a woman holding brushes, there's a woman holding a work of art, there's a woman holding a hammer, there's a woman holding a frame, some are holding books, there's a camera lens. It really is this community.
Well, certainly I would say the process of doing this piece for both of us has been really eye-opening, and it's been a great community building process. We've met so many people that we didn't know in the arts community, and I personally felt like I was very well connected in the arts community, but in fact I've realized there are so many people that I don't know whose work I'm not familiar with. So it was really eye-opening in that way, pulling this together, and I do feel like we've created a greater sense of community, at least for ourselves and those who have participated.
So, Bird, when this comes from an idea, when this comes from a statue that we've lived amongst, we've walked by her numerous times, was there a transformative moment when you saw these photos?
Well, I think the beauty of these images, now that they're up and on the wall, is the fact that there is so much variety, diversity that you alluded to before, and how they all are a part of the piece. They are all different, and yet they are all one in a way. And I think it's really fabulous to see a group of women up there who are supposedly dressed as the same, all as the same statue, and yet they bring all of their individual attitude, size, style, background, heritage, work, right into the piece. So we feel lucky that way.
Material culture contributor Jonifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts.